Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. How would you define a Christian? One definition is found in Acts 11 and verse 26, where a Christian is identified as a disciple. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. A disciple is a learner, a follower, and in this case, a learner and a follower of Christ. But more than that, and in another sense, a disciple is one who believes in Christ and has been baptized into Christ. Matthew 28:19, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The word teach can also be rendered make disciples. A disciple is one who hears, believes, and obeys Christ. In yet a fuller sense than that, a disciple is one that continues in the word of Christ. Jesus said, therefore, to those Jews that had believed on him, If ye abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. John 8 and verse 31. To abide means to dwell or to live. We are to learn of Christ, follow Christ, believe Christ, obey Christ, continue to live in the will of Christ if we are rightly identified as a disciple of Christ. This is what a Christian is. We must abide in him to bear fruit that he expects. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye except ye abide in me. John 15:4. And so we ask, why not be a Christian? The name Christian is that worthy name that the followers of Christ are called, James 2 and verse 7. 1 Peter 4 and verse 16 reads, If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. We would not ask anyone to be a sectarian or a member of some denomination. Denominations have no divine authority to exist. We would never urge anyone to be anything religiously of which you cannot read in God's Word. We only want people to be what God wants them to be, and we ought to be ashamed to ever ask any person to become anything other than just simply a Christian. And even though God wants all to be Christians, when the invitation of Christ is extended, many say no by their refusal to obey. But let us consider the advantages of being a Christian. In Christ we enjoy salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. We each are a soul that will either be saved or lost in eternity. We're the ones who will determine that destiny. Christ said the soul is worth more than all the world, Matthew 16:26. And only in Christ is there the salvation that we must have, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And Christ is the author of salvation, Hebrews 5:9. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, John 4 and verse 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. Those out of Christ are spiritually dead. And those in Christ are spiritually alive, Ephesians 2, 1 and 5. It is in Christ that we enjoy salvation. By being a Christian, we also can have fellowship with other Christians, the saved and the redeemed. Acts 2, 42, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and the fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. Fellowship includes the communion, cooperating together, joint participation with one another in the affairs of the Lord. It denotes a relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Words are not adequate to describe the sweetness of this fellowship when it is as it ought to be. There are no relationships of such a nature that are more beautiful than that of Christians with Christians. They share their joys and their sorrows, their successes and their failures, their hopes and their goals. And all of this is contained in that beautiful hymn entitled, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in Christian Love. If one is not a Christian, he cannot benefit from this fellowship because he lacks that which God has provided in life. In 1 John 1 and verse 3, that ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Christians walk together in this life, helping each other get to heaven. This is why everyone should be a Christian. A Christian is a child of God, and God is his spiritual father. Now, in one sense, all people are children of God, inasmuch as he is our creator, and we have all come from the first parents, Adam and Eve. But all physical children of God are not spiritual children of God. Some have the devil as their spiritual father. Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil," in John 8 and verse 44. But to Christians, John wrote, "Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. In Galatians 3 and verse 26, Paul wrote, "For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, "And I will be to you a father, and ye shall be to me sons and daughters." Over and over, the Bible identifies the Christian as a child of God. And as our Father, he can be approached by us at any time for the help that we need in life. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to him that ask him?" Matthew 7:7-11. Hebrews 4:16 reads, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Paul wrote, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Friend, the house of God refers to the family of God, which is the church of God, which is composed of the sons and daughters of God. The church is composed of the children of God. Paul wrote confidently to the Christians in Rome, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Yes, Christians are the children of God, and Christians can approach their Father in prayer. We ought to be Christians so that we may benefit and enjoy the hope that God has provided. Hope is called the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in Hebrews 6 and verse 19. The purpose of an anchor is to make secure and to stabilize. A person of no faith is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed, James 1 and verse 6. He has no anchor to hold him. The hope of eternal life holds the Christian firm amidst the threatening events of life. And in this way we are saved by hope. Romans 8 and verse 24. We come to Christ to be forgiven of our sins, and to enter into the realm of salvation, and to partake of the spiritual blessings found in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. We may be battered time and time again with temptation and trial that is designed to cause us to abandon the faith, but there is that which provokes us to keep on keeping on, that something is the hope of an eternal life in heaven. Without that hope, we would lose our way and possibly give up before the prize is ours. Paul wrote, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." 2 Timothy 4, 6-8. This was his expression of hope that he possessed, because he was faithful in Christ. He said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Philippians 1, 21-24. Paul had the hope of the Christian in his heart, and when you and I are Christians, we can have that same hope. We ought to be Christians because we must someday die. "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." Hebrews 9 and verse 27. There is so much about death that strikes fear in our hearts, because there is so much about it that is hidden and remains a mystery as yet. Many are afraid to die because they are not ready to die. Those who obey the gospel and walk therein also have concern about death. But the fear is replaced with a comfort. Like the psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I want to read you some words from a man named Robert Ingersoll. This man was a renowned atheist. He denied the existence of God. And yet he said at the graveside of his brother, "Life is a narrow veil between the cold and barren peaks of two eternities. We strive in vain to look beyond the heights. We cry aloud, and the only answer is the echo of our wailing cry. From the voiceless lips of the unreplying dead there comes no word. But in the night of death, hope sees a star, and listening love can hear the rustle of a wing. He who sleeps here when dying, making the approach of death for the return of his health, mistaking that it was that he was getting better, he whispered with his last breath, 'I'm better now.' Let us believe, in spite of doubts and dogmas and tears and fears, that these dear words are true of all the countless dead." Now, even this man who denied God wanted more than anything else to have hope. But, of course, in denying God, one denies all hope, for hope resides in God. The psalmist said in Psalm 42 and verse 5, "Hope thou in God." The Christian can face death as a disciple of Christ with hope rather than fear. He can enjoy confidence and trust and expectancy beyond this life in the land of fadeless day. Revelation 14:13, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." No man can live with the devil and die with the Lord, and no man lives with the Lord and dies with the devil. In the face of death and eternity, the Christian can rely on such words, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:54-57. Romans 8:38 tells us that even death cannot separate us from the love of God. Death for the Christian becomes but a necessary doorway through which he passes into that greater and more wonderful realm with an eternity with God in heaven. There are a few of these advantages, then, of being a Christian. These are not all, but even these are sufficient to show that we ought to respond favorably to the call of God to come to Christ. It would be a good exercise for each one who is having any difficulty in making the right decision to take the time, with pencil and pad, and to write down what you might consider the advantages, if there be any, in remaining alienated from God. The advantages, if there be any, in remaining in your sins. The advantages, if there be any, to continue to be doomed and damned. And compare them with the advantages of being redeemed and reconciled to God through Christ. We are confident that an honest comparison will provoke you to obey the gospel and walk therein the remainder of your days. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.